Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Meseches Sota, Daf Tesvov. The Gemara is in the middle of going through the Seder Avodah of the Korban Mincha, and the Gemara says that when you bring the koimetz to the fires on the Mizbeach, to be maktir the koimetz, so moilchoi v'nois noi al gabei ho'ishim. You put salt on the koimetz, and then you place the koimetz onto the fire. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, t'chsiv v'chol korban mincha secha b'melach timloch. So that's a pasuk that speaks specifically about a korban mincha, and it says that a korban mincha gets salt on it when you maktir it on the Mizbeach. In reality, this pasuk is actually begins with the din of melach, specifically on the koimetz of the mincha, but it actually continues and it speaks of a collective mitzvah that the haktara of all korbanos has to be with salt. The pasuk says, "V'chol korban mincha sechaba melach timloch," that the korban mincha has to be salted before you maktir, and then it has a loisa say, "V'loisa shbis melach biris halakech me'al mincha secha." Do not leave out the melach of the Rebbein Shalom from your korban mincha. The end of the pasuk has a collective tzivoy al kol korbanecha takriv melach. And all of your korbanos, you shall have a salt, place a salt on it before your maktir by all korbanos. The Rambam paskins that if a person offers a korban without any salt, without salting the korban, hikriv b'loy melach klal, the Rambam says, you loike, that you get malchus, but v'afal pi shaloike ha korban kosher. Even though you get the malchus, the korban will be kosher. So the Rambam is paskining that the salting of the korban is not ma'akev, the salting of the chelak that's mukhtar is not ma'akev, but the Rambam says, however, chutz min ha-mincha, this is aside from the mincha, sha-melach ma'akev b'kmitza. The melach is ma'akev, the koimetz of the mincha. If you don't salt it, it's possible. Sh'nemar v'lois ha-shbis, melach b'ris ha-loikecha me'al mincha secha. The Rambam splits the psak with regard to the failure to salt the korbonos. In reality, the Gemara in Masech de Menachos does have a machleket tanuim about whether failing to be moileach to salt the korbonos is ma'akev, but the Rambam is splitting the psak, and he says, but by all korbonos, the melach is not ma'akev and the korban is kosher, but the evid. However, by the korban mincha, if you weren't melech the koimetz, then it's going to be pasul. And this is a shiloh the meforshim they grapple with to understand where the Rambam got this thing to split the psak that by the korban mincha the failure to melech pasuls the korban, but other korbanos are still kosher. The Keren Oyre explains in Masechta Menachos al Pidar Koi. He says, in his opinion, the Rambam did not really split the psak, and there's one uniform and consistent approach that the Rambam took to the failure to melech all korbanos, and that is zokter, that if a person fails to melech the chelak hamukhtar, the chelak that goes in the fire of a korban, that chelak hamukhtar becomes commander lesser. It becomes like it's non-existent, because the failure to salt is ma'akev in the haktorah. Nor was then, zokt the keren oyre. And this we know, we have many sugyas, but the Gemara tells us that the imurim of a korban is not ma'akev the kapora. The dam, the zrikas adam, is what achieves the kapora of a korban, and even though the mitzvah to be makter the imurim, but if you failure to imakti the imurim, the fat's the part that goes in the fire of the korban, so that's not ma'akiv. The melo, says the keridoyer, if a person is makti the imurim but he leaves out the salt, imurim becomes commander lesser, but it's still not going to ma'akiv the korban. It's ma'akiv the imurim, it's like you were not makti the imurim, but it's not ma'akiv the korban, because even not offering the imurim at all, it's still not ma'akiv the korban, because the avodas hadam is what achieves the kapora of a korban behemoth. Ma'ashein kain zokt the kerenoyer by the mincha. The korban mincha is fundamentally different, because the korban mincha, the haktora of the koimetz, aside from being b'mokam the emurim, is also b'mokam the zrikas hadam. It wears two hats, has two roles. When you offer the koimetz, that goes in the fire like the emurim of an animal korban, a korban of boser of behemoth. But at the same time, that's b'mokam the zrikas hadam. Obviously, a mincha doesn't have avodas hadam, and like Rashi brought down yesterday on Yedalad and Beis, and Rashi says in various places that there's four avoidas of a korban mincha, which are connected the four avoidas of the avoidas hadam of a behemo. The aktoras hakoymet is connected the zvikas hadam, since zvikas hadam is certainly ma'akiv by a korban behemo. So likewise, the failure to be makdir a korban mincha is of course ma'akiv. So therefore, says the Kohenayer, since we know that the failure to salt the dover hamukter is ma'akiv, it's like you weren't makdir at all, so buy an animal korban, it's not ma'akiv, because the whole murim, aktoras imurim is not ma'akiv. Mashenka v'mincha with the failure to be makdik toy, the koimitz is ma'akiv, that is ma'akiv, that's mimkrem the avoidas adam. So therefore, by the mincha, that's Raman Paskin very well, that if you fail to salt the mincha, it's going to be ma'akiv. In other words, it's not really a split imsak between mincha and korbonis behem and zvachim, but rather it's one fundamental point, that the failure to be salt is always going to be ma'akiv in the dover ha'mukta. It happens to be by an animal, by a zavach, the ha'muktorim, that which called the emurim, is not ma'akiv altogether, because what the avodas adam is what makes it a korban. Ma'ashen kamei mincha, you fail to salt, it's like you weren't makta the koimetz, and that itself is certainly going to ma'akiv the mincha. That's the shita of the Keren Oira in understanding the Rambam. The Keren Oira adds that even though the Rambam uses a loshen over there of chutz men ha'mincha, shehamelach ma'akiv b'kmitza, that the failure to salt is ma'akiv the kmitza, the koimetz of the mincha, in reality, that's a shver line, and you have to say that it's lavdafke in the Rambam, because take, for example, korban of a koyhen, mechas koyhen, the halacha is that it's kol tihe, the mechas koyhen doesn't get nikmetzes, you offer the whole thing on the fire, or the other menachos that are kol, they're offered completely onto the fire. So the Karenayu says that certainly according to this analysis of the Rambam, it definitely ought to follow that regardless of whether it's a din to imakter the kmitza, which is by a regular korban mincha, or to imakter the entirety of the korban, like mechas koyhen and the like, so all these cases, the failure to salt is going to be make the davar hamukta that gets commanded less, like you would not ma'akter anything, and therefore certainly the failure to salt the mechas koyhen, which is called tia, will definitely ma'akter the mechas koyhen as well. So the Rambam that uses the loshin that the melech is ma'akter b'kmitza is a difficult loshin, and you cannot say that it's dafka. This is the Kirinari. It says we must say it real yosoi, the real vort has nothing to do with the kmitza specifically. The melech is ma'akter the korban mincha, because without the haktorah component of the korban mincha, you don't have the avoidus which are the machaper, you don't have the kum that avoidus hadam, and it's therefore a posel of mincha. Now the Briski Rav in the Chedushim on Masechta Menachos understands the Rambams in these Rambam in the Yad that we spoke of before, understands it differently based upon an analysis that he goes through to discuss on the understanding of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Sheresh Yud Beis. Now you know that the Rambam opens the Sefer HaMitzvos with Shroshim, in which he discusses the general rules that are going to govern which mitzvahs he's going to count in the Taryag, independently of Semper mitzvahs, which mitzvahs he won't count, which mitzvahs he'll group together into a general grouping of one big collective mitzvah. And the Rambam, the Briski Rav points out in Sheresh Yud Beis, seems to have practically a contradiction, Minei Ubei, almost from one bit in the Rambam there to just the Rambam himself, just a few lines later, it seems to be an inherent contradiction, which we certainly need to resolve. The Rambam says in the Sefer mitzvahs there, in the Sheresh Yud Beis, that salting a korban is considered to be a mitzvah bifnei atzmo in the Tayag mitzvahs. We do not say, says the Rambam, that we're going to subsume the mitzvah to salt a korban as a kind of particular activity within korban oila, so therefore it's contained within korban oila, and it's included in korban chatas and included in korban shlam, because all these korbanos have to be salted, so maybe the salt is just a component of each of them and not counted separately. We don't say that, says the Rambam. Rather, the Torah independently identifies this mitzvah, the chol korban minchosecho. Actually, I'm sorry, kol korban chatakas melach. So there's a kloliistic mitzvah klolos to melech, the salt of the korbanos, and that's independently counted as a separate mitzvah in the Tayag, the salt of the korbanos. A few lines later, curiously enough, the Rambam goes back and he's masig on the Bahag. You know, the Bahag, the Bahalochas Gedoilos, had an independent, his own count of the minyan hamitzvahs. He came before the Rambam, and the Rambam often takes aim at the Bahag and explains why he feels the Bahag was wrong for counting this or not counting that. And in this case, it seems that the Rambam counted some of the individual avoidos of a korban mincha. And the Rambam says it's certainly incorrect to do what others have done before me and to count yitziko and belila, the different applications of oil to the korban mincha, and melicha of the korban mincha. To count these independent mitzvahs like was done before me, the one who came before me, is not correct. Rather, says the Rambam, all of these are subcategories. They're components of one mitzvah, the mitzvah of doing the avoidos of the korban mincha, and within that one mitzvah, we we include all the components, all the different elements of the Korban Mincha, like Yitzika, Belila, and Melicha. So over there, says the Brisker Rav, the Rambam discusses Melicha again a second time, and startlingly, the Rambam addressed it differently than the first time. Over there, the Rambam says that Melicha ought not to be counted independently because it's a chaylek of the Klaliyistic, a general collective mitzvah of the Korban Mincha to do the Korban Mincha with all of its avoides. So what gives? What's the story to resolve this steering? So the Brisker Rav explains as follows. All korbanos need to have the chaylek hamukta that goes in the fire needs to be salted, and this is a kind of collective umbrella pasuk that says about all the korbanos in general together, al kol korbanecha takriv melach. This pasuk is not written in the Torah in the form of a particular activity within the korban oil, within the korban chatos. It's rather written as an independent general tzivoy on all of your korbans, you're going to offer melach. Al kol korbanecha takriv melach. So therefore it's an independent mitzvah, and the Rambam rechens it and counts it separately in the minyan hamitzvah to offer salt on all the korbanos. Says the Brisker Rav, though, when it comes to the Melicha of the Korban Mincha, we're there with the Pasuk, actually, when it's talking about the Korban Mincha in Parashas, in the Parash, in there, so it speaks about the Korban Mincha, and in the context of the Korban Mincha, it says that the whole Korban Mincha Sechaba Melach Timloch, etc. So there, within the activities of the Mincha, it mentions that one of the activities of the Mincha is going to be Melech the Mincha. There's a specific tzibui about that that's contained within the activities to do, to offer a Korban Mincha, v'chol Korban Minchos Chava Melech Timloch. Therefore, says the Brisker Rav, the Rambam understood that that pasuk with that specific tzivui about Melech the Mincha is not intended as kind of a general collective outside mitzvah to Melech Korbanos, but rather it's intended as one of the steps, one of the activities within the Korban Mincha, and therefore that one, the Melech of the Korban Mincha, the Rambam was massing on the Bahag, who counted it separately. The Rambam says that the Melech of the Korban Mincha, that ought not to be counted separately. That's a subcategory within the general Seder avoidos of the Korban Mincha. The Brisker Rav goes further over there and he explains that actually is why we find reflected in the Yad, like we said before, that the Rambam understood that the Melicha of all the other Korbanos is not Ma'akev, the Melicha of the Korban Mincha is Ma'akev. Why? So the Brisker Rav, because since the Melicha of all the other Korbanos is not a prat within the Korban, an integral element within the Korban itself, but rather it's an independent mitzvah counted separately in the Torah, general separate mitzvah, the whole Korban Melach. So therefore, it's not a din within the individual mitzvah of the chatas of the oil, etc. It won't be ma'akev it. You'll miss that mitzvah of being melech the korbanos. There's no reason, however, to think that's going to ma'akev within the korban itself. Masha'in came zot the brisker rov, the mitzvah of being melech the korban mincha, which is written as a step, as a prat. It's in the avodah of the korban mincha, so therefore it's an integral prat within the mincha itself. And if you're going to be missing that step, that melech of the korban mincha, you're missing an integral component step within the avodah of the mincha, and therefore, consequently, that's why it's going to be ma'akev within the mincha. In other words, you miss a step within the mincha, and therefore it's ma'akev. So it comes out, as if you think about it, that the Brisker Rav has a different analysis to the Rambam's in the Yad than the Keren Ora does, and there's a real difference between them. According to the Keren Ora, really the Rambam is being consistent, both with regard to the failure to melech the hakoymet to the mincha, and regarding the failure to melech and the other kabbanas. In all cases, says the Keren Ora, in all cases alike, the failure to be melech is going to make the haktorah command the lesser. The haktorah is like it's nothing. However, it happens to be that the failure to makter the mincha passes the mincha, the failure to makter the emurim of the korban behem of the zvachim is not going to passel it, because there we have the avoidah hadam, which is the integral avoidah, that's the mechaper. That's the keren ora, and it does follow, according to him, that the failure to melech the emurim of a zemach will in fact passel the emurim. It just doesn't passel the korban. However, according to the Brisker Rav, it comes out differently. Lefi the Brisker Rav, the failure to melech a korban a zemach is not ma'akev at all. It's an independent mitzvah that you failed on. That's not ma'akev anything. According to him, it wouldn't even be ma'akev in the emurim itself. You just failed to do an independent mitzvah that's rechened separately by the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Ma'ashenkin is only the melecha of the korban mincha. Over there, it's an integral component of the korban mincha itself. It's a din in the mincha that I have to have the melecha, and the failure to have melecha is ma'akev. It's missing an integral din within the mincha. It's there and only there, according to the Brisker Rav, that the Rambam is going to hold the failure to melech is an ikov in the korban, and is going to make, in this case, the koimitz, and consequently the korban itself, to be kiman d'lesa. Later in the Amud, the Gemara goes on to say that when the Kohanim eat the Shirayim after Gemakt here, the Koimitz of the Mincha, the Kohanim, when they eat the remainder of the Shirayim, Verashoyin HaKohanim Eliten L'Soichoy Yayin V'Shemen Udvash. The Kohanim are allowed to eat it how they like it. They can put in oil, they can put in honey, they can put in wine. What's the reason? What's the mocker, says the Gemara, that they could put in all these elements within the Shirayim when they want to eat it to enhance the taste? My timer, Amar Krol L'Moshcha L'Gedula K'derach Shehamalochim Moichel. So this is the din of Lamoshka that we find in different places, that you're supposed to eat the Gabonis in a distinguished manner, in the manner of Nechbodim, in the manner that kings eat, and therefore you eat it with various types of enhancements, and in this case it's serving as a heter, as you can see from the Gemara, it's matir to put in yayin and shemen and devash. If not for the din of Lamoshka, it seems from the Gemara that I would not have known, and I would have thought that you're mechuyev to eat the shirayim without anything in it, just alone, unflavored. But now that I have Lamoshka telling me that you eat it in a distinguished manner, like distinguished people eat, that's matir put in various types of flavoring agents. The Brisker Rav over here in the Chedushim, he leaves with a question. He says he does not know why the Gemara considers that a Chiddush, they allowed the Kohen allowed to put the Ayin Hashemen and Dvash, the different flavor enhancements, into the Shirayim. He says he doesn't know what the Chiddush is, and why would they have a minute that they can't? Where did the Hamina come from that they have to dafke eat it plain, and that the Gemara should need a special pasuk? And the Brisker Rav leaves this with a kasha. However, the Chazan Yecheskel, the Pchatskel Abramsky, actually does say a terror to this in his parish on the Sefta, where the Sefta discusses this in Zvochem Perek Yud. It talks over there similarly in the Sefta in Zvochem Perek Yud. It talks about how you're allowed to eat various, to put tavlins and yayin and flavor enhancements into the chelak hanechal of the karbonos when the kohanim eat it. It speaks about putting these flavorings in when you eat a karb mincha, when you eat other karbonos. And the Chazan Yecheskel over there explains what the chiddush of this din is. And Chazan Yecheskel says the chiddush is that I should not apply the rule that mitzvois mevatlois zu esu. This is actually a sugya in Psochem and Perek Avi Psochem. The Gemara discusses if I have a mitzvah to eat this thing and to eat that thing, to eat matzah and maror, whole sugya over there, put them together in the mouth. So the Gemara discusses that be'etzem there's a problem because the flavor of each messes up the other one. I'm not fully tasting this one, not fully tasting that, and the flavor of each disturbs the other one. It's not a full tasting of either, and consequently the mitzvah mevatlois zu esu, and you're not yoyt to the mitzvah. The Gemara over there has to say that Hillel, who was Koyrech, the Pesach Matzah, Moir Voichel, the Yachad, the different Kisois there, but he was Koyrech and he ate these things together. The Gemara has to say that the whole hold that mitzvahs ain't mevatlois zu esu, but like this we pass in that mitzvahs are mevatlois zu esu. So therefore, says the Chazon Yecheskel, be'etzem, since there is a mitzvah to eat the achilas shirayim of a korban, there's actually a mitzvah to eat the leftover of the shirayim, so therefore, consequently, I would have thought that perhaps it's actually not allowed to eat the shirayim together with any kind of additional side flavor, because it's going to mess up the taste, the full taste of the tasting of the shirayim, and therefore it's going to end up being mevatel tam mitzvah. So consequently, you're not allowed to mevatel tam mitzvah. You don't get the mitzvah of the achilas shirayim. So for that, I have a special. Then the Moshcha L'Gdula, it tells me a special chiddush that in fact it is okay that you're allowed to put in these flavorings and to enhance the flavor of the shirayim. The Chazon Yecheskel goes further, and he makes a couple of points. First of all, says the Chazon Yecheskel, that he says that all this is true in the eating the chelak hanechal of all different types of korbanos, of minchos, and the basar of zvachim, and etc. Van der Zwegen says that the Chazon Yecheskel, this is not true with regard to the korban pesach. And you eat the korban pesach, you're not allowed to eat it together with other flavors, which is actually really the pashtus, as he points out of the sugya in Arvi Pesachim, that Hill held that Mrs. Emavat Lezuazu, and he held that it's okay to eat the pesach matzah more together. But pashtus, it's before some aforesh over there, that if you hold it, there is a din of bittul on the mitzvahs, and you eat other things with the Pesach, you end up being mevatel the time of the Pesach. The Pesach, says the Chazon Yecheskel, is actually unique, and there's a specific reason why the Pesach is actually singled out, that there you cannot have other flavors in your mouth together while you eat the Pesach. But the other Kohanim were saying that it is okay, but the Mincha was saying over here it's okay, but the Korban Pesach, though, the other taste will disturb the experience of tasting the Pesach, and you won't be yoytze. And the Chazon Yecheskel wants to be toiled this in a famous Yesoy that is discussed by the Beis Halevi in the Tshuvas Beis Halevi and Chelek Aleph. The Beis Halevi says a vort, which we'll go through briefly, that he says that we find by the Korban Pesach, that there, the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvah counts the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, he counts that doing the Voidus of the Pesach, and separately, independently, he counts the Mitzvah of Achilach Korban Pesach, a special independent Mitzvah to eat the Pesach, a unique thing really. We don't really find by any other Korban that the Rambam should single out the Achilah of that Korban as a special independent Mitzvah within that Korban. So that Korban Pesach is unique, that the Rambam reckons a special Mitzvah to be Oichel, the Korban Pesach. And the Beis HaLevi over there explains, it's a whole Stikul Torah, a well-known piece that he explains that although there is actually a general collective mitzvah to eat all korbanos, Pesach Zokter is unique, and that's why especially singled out the mitzvah to eat the korban Pesach. Pesach is unique in that by all other korbanos, there's no din on any specific individual to eat the chelak hanechal of the korban. Rather, it's a din that nemtzach mitzad the cheftza, that the chesed of the entity of the korban should be nechal. In other words, it's not a mitzvah on the person to eat, any specific person to eat the Achilas HaKorban, rather it's a din that we should see to it that the Korban gets eaten. It's not a din of the person to eat, it's a din the Korban should get eaten, the Korban to be Nechal. Masha Enkein, says the Beis HaLevi, we find a unique thing by Korban Pesach, that every year they have to eat a Kazayas of the Pesach, so there's a din of the Gavra to eat the Pesach. Every person has to eat the Pesach. That's why he explains Opidarkoi, that since by Pesach there's a din of every individual, the person, the Gavra has to consume, has to eat, so therefore there's a din to eat b'kazayas, because achila is b'kazayas. Masha ein kein by all other korbanos where the din is just that it should get consumed, it should be nechal. So then, it's not a din on the person to eat, it's just a din that the korban should get consumed, and therefore there's no special din of eating kazayas. That's what we find, that he's put up the lechem upon him, he points out, and when the kohen each one said he giani kapol, he just got a very small piece, because there was no din to eat kazayas by the din of achila as a korbanos, since it was just a din that it should get consumed, it's only by Pesach that the din on the maisa Achila, the person should do the act of eating, and there, for example, it's b'kazayas. Chazon Yecheskel says, Alpidar Koy, that this explains the vort, the distinction here. And now, Gemara, in the Tesefta, we have a din that you're allowed to eat all kinds of korbanos with flavorings, and we do not say that the flavorings disturb the taste of the korban, because there, the mitzvah is just that the korban should get nechal, it should end up getting consumed. It's not a din of the person to eat, and therefore, it's not a problem if the person's eating experience is disturbed by having another flavor within it as well. Because it's not a din the person to eat, it's just a din the korban to get consumed. Masha ein kein by the korban Pesach. Over there, it's an active mitzvah on the gavra, on each person to eat the korban Pesach. So there's a din, and the din, prat, details about how to do that mitzvah that you as a person are mitzvah to do, to eat the korban. And therefore, there's a din that the eating should be the eating of the korban alone, and the flavor should not be disturbed by some other flavor that would creep in, which should be mevatel the tam mitzvah. That's a special din, zokter korban Pesach. And it doesn't apply, as you can see here, and elsewhere, doesn't apply to the eating of other korbanos. Likewise, says the Chazon Yecheskel, this also explains why the Rambam, when he brings down this din, that you could eat the korbanos with enhancement flavors, he brings it down in an interesting way, with an interesting expression, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Korbanos Perek Yud. The Rambam over there says, Mutar le'echol es hakotshim b'chol ma'achol. You could eat the kotshim together with any kind of flavors, any kind of other foods that you want to eat with it, it's fine, it's permitted. Afilu ha-koyanim, even the koyanim, says the Rambam, mutorim le'echol chelkom, with all kinds of other flavors in ma'acholim, even koyanim are allowed to do that. The Rambam is shver. It's really not understandable on the face of it. Why does the Rambam make an issue of afilu ha-koyanim? What's the difference koyanim and anybody else? Yisroel eat shlom, Yisroel eat kochi kalim, the koyanim eat dechel, achel, look at the korban. Whatever it is, why was there a special svara to say that the koyan specifically should not be allowed, not be able to eat his chelak together with a flavor enhancement, that as such that I had to speak out, a chiddush, afilu, even the koyanim are allowed to eat it with other flavors. Zokti, Chazon Yecheskel, that according to his word, it's very good. Why? Because we know, Zokti, that the Rambam, when he lists the mitzvah to eat korbonos, like for example in the Kriseris, in the beginning of Hilchos Ma'aseh Korbonos, in the beginning of Perek Yud of Ma'aseh Korbonos, the Rambam speaks it out clearly. The Rambam says that achilas chatos v'osha mitzvah asay. Now the Rambam speaks of the chelak hakoyanim, that they get an asay, a special asay when they eat their part. For example, achilas chatos v'osha mitzvah asay shenemar v'ochlu oisom asher kupar bohem, which the Rambam quotes the Gemara, hakoyanim oichlem u'bay
lemiskatrim. Koyanim eat the bohem, get a kapor. That's ochlu oisam ashekupa bohem. And the Rambam says the same is true about all the korbonos, that when the koyanim eat it, that's a special mitzvah, it's achiloson mitzvah. So really you see in the Rambam that the Rambam understood that the mitzvah of achilos korbonos is really a mitzvah that's in the chelak hakoyanim. When the koyanim consume their chelak, that's where you get that mitzvah of ochlu oisam ashekupa bohem. The shittas of Rambam is that's specific to koyanim when they eat the chelak hakoyanim. Avazoi says the chazen yecheskel, now I can understand why the Rambam went to the trouble of saying afilu akoyinim, even the koyinim are allowed to eat their chelak with a flavor enhancement. That means not only the Yisrael who doesn't even have a mitzvah according to the shittas of Rambam to eat his chelak of the korban, and maybe there was no hava minna by the Yisrael that he should be also to disturb the flavor with some other kind of enhancement, because it's not disturbing the tam mitzvah, because the Rambam held the Yisrael doesn't get a mitzvah to eat his chelak of the korban. But even the chelak of the koyin who when he eats his chelak gets a special mitzvah ochloi some shekuba vahem koyinim oichlam pilem eskaprim. So Mela, since it's a mitzvah, there I would have thought that perhaps they can't disturb the tam mitzvah. Some mevatel the tam mitzvah, they're putting in other flavors. If that's of them, zot min a chiddush, that's a special chiddush. Afilo akoyanim, says the Rambam, even they are allowed to eat it with other enhancements, because like we explained before, that the enhancements by the mitzvah of achilas kochim, they don't disturb the mitzvah of achilas kochim, and consequently, that is where the Rambam found the chiddush, so the Chazon Yecheskel, he found the chiddush by the chelak akoyanim, because that is where, in his opinion, the mitzvah to eat kochim lies.
One last point here on Amud Aleph before we go to Amud Beis. The Gemara brings the Braisa, which discusses the Haktorah of the Koimetz, and the Lashon HaBraisa is Uma'alehu Uma'aktira B'Klishores, that you offer up, take the koimetz up to the top of the bech, and you maktir it in a klishoris. Ma'alehu maktira b'klishoris. According to our Girsa in the Gemara then asks, b'klishoris maktilei, are you really going to offer to be maktir the koimetz in a klishoris? Ella, rather, emo ma'alehu b'klishoris lehaktiroi. Rather, you bring it to the top of the korban of the mizbeach, in a klishoris, for the purpose of being maktir. That's the Girsa we had, and Rashi removes this gear, so Rashi changes the text of the Gemara, and according to Rashi, the correct reading of the Gemara's question is, that's how Rashi learns it. Are you already telling me you maktir it? And Rashi explains that at this point in the Braisa, you have not even applied salt to it yet, and certainly you're not going to be maktir it yet. So therefore, that's the question of the Gemara. How could I already say already at this point that you're maktir? That's why the Gemara changes it. You mali it to the Tavaz Beach at this point for the purpose of maktir, then you put the salt, then eventually later on, you're going to be maktir. That's Rashi's gear. In the Gemara. The Biskirov over here argues that he believes that the Rambam had our Girsa in the Gemara and used it to bring out a particular din. The Biskirov notes that there is a stira, a contradiction in the Rambam, which the stira is discussed by some Achroinim, with regard to the question of whether the bringing, being mocked here, the koimetz on the top of the bech in a klishoris, is that ma'akev? Is a ma'akev to do it in a klishoris? What if the king would do it biyad without a klishoris? And in his hand, would that be ma'akev, the korban mincha b'di'evet? The Rambam in Hilchot Psulei HaMakdashim says, lehu l'mincha she'aloi b'klishoris posel. If you brought up the mincha to the top of the mizbeach without a klishoris, it's posel. So the Rambam makes it clear that the klishoris is ma'akev. If you bring it to the top of the mizbeach without a klishoris, it's posel. However, the Rambam himself in Hilchot Ma'isa HaKorbanos says that if by a korban mincha, he says that if you zorak, if you throw the korban mincha onto the fire with your hand or with a keli, in either way, the right hand and the left hand with the hand of the keli, in all events, says the Rambam, then is that the korban mincha is going to be kosher. And there the Rambam is mavur, regardless of whether you did it with the hand or with the keli, then is that the korban is in fact kosher. So it's a stira in the Rambam. A big question, the Achorinim asks the stira over here, and Ma'aseh Kavanah, the Rambam is saying that even without a keli, you throw it on the fire and it's kosher. Not so matter that you don't throw it from a keli and still kosher, even if you fail to do it from a keli. And yet, the Rambam Sulam Magdashim says that if you're helei, so what's the resolution? What's the answer? The Biskirov says, and there are others that say similarly or the same, that the Biskirov says that the Rambam must have made a distinction between halah and haktorah. That's haste. There's a difference between bringing it from the floor level of the Azorah up to the top of the Be'ach. That's called halah. And haktorah is once you're on the top, you throw it onto the fire. The halah, the Rambam is telling you in Hilchos Psulei Makdashim, that then it's absolutely ma'akev to have a klishoris, and if you bring it
to the top of the Beach by hand without a klishoris, then the halacha is that it's possible. However, Masha in Kain, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Gavonos, Rambam is talking about the haktor, the throwing on the fire, which is what he says really, Zorak al gabe ho'ishim. So you threw it onto the fire. And there the Rambam says that ben biyad ben bikli, regardless of yad or kli, the din is that it's going to be kosher. So Rambam held that haktorah without a klishoris is going to be kosher. But halah, the taking it from the floor to the top of the Beach, there the klishoris is absolutely ma'akev, and there it is not kosher without a klishoris. It's Dr. Biskirov that according to the Rambam, that's what the Gemara over here is going to be saying with our girsa in the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying, according to this, Maktiroi, when it said the original girsa was Maktiroi Beklishoris. And that the Gemara says, and Maktiroi means what? In other words, Maktiroi would be thrown on the fire. Beklishoris from the Klishoris. Now, the Klishoris Maktile, the Gemara asks. In other words, is it really imperative to Makti the carbon, the koimets onto the fire in a Klishoris? Is that really Ma'akev? Is it imperative to do it in a Klishoris? Says the Gemara, no, I'm going to change the girsa. Ela Malehu Beklishoris Lahaktiroi. In other words, rather than speaking of the haktorah b'klishoris, we're changing the text of the braisa, it should say we're speaking of the halah b'klishoris, and that's exactly what the Rambam comes out, the same like this girsa that we have in the Gemara, that the halah must be done in a klishoris. Masha'en kein the haktorah, so there it doesn't absolutely have to be done in a klishoris, and that's where the Gemara amends the text from saying maktir b'klishoris and changes that to maleo b'klishoris. The truth is we find that the Evan also, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, really goes through a similar discussion, and he has a question on this. Rabbi Zalman says that if you want to learn the Gemara this way, according to Rambam, it will still be shver. Because we know that the Rambam actually writes clearly in really a third mokah, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Gavonos Perek Yud Gimel, that as far as the lechatchila, there's no question that Rambam makes it absolutely clear that lechatchila, both the halah and the haktorah, are supposed to be done in a from the klishoris. You bring it up to the tapas be'ach and the klishoris, you throw it directly from the klishoris into the fire. Both the halah and the haktorah are supposed to be done with and from a klishoris. That's lechatchila for sure. And the Rambam is mavur like that. Maleu, says the Rambam, Moilchoi, Noisne al Gabi Ho'ishim, Mi Klishores, at the Lashon Rambam, Hilchos Ma'aseh Gavonos Perek Yud Gimel. It's been absolutely clear in the Rambam. L'chatchila, everything is done from a Klishores. So, Frekta B'Tzal Zalman, why did the Gemara in this Sugya, in Soiti Tesvov, why did it assume that we're discussing the B'dievid then if after the fact? The Baisa doesn't mention any kind of B'dievid expression. It talks about what you should do. L'chatchila, Maktira B'Klishores, Maleu B'Klishores. It's talking what you should do. And since the Rambam does hold L'chatchila, everything should be done in a Klishores. There's really no reason for the Gemara to amend the Girsa based upon what is or is not Ma'akev, according to the Rambam, according to the Din, since we're not discussing Ma'akev, we're discussing the Chatchila, and the Chatchila Rambam does make it clear that even the Nesina onto the fire does have to be done by Klishora. So this is Mrs. Zalman's Kasha. It's still, the Gemara is still Shver, and it's not going to be solved according to this Stelling Tzu, and bringing in the different Dinim according to the Rambam about the B'dievet. So Mrs. Zalman therefore wants to actually say his own Pshat in this Gemara, a little different. According to his own understanding, if it's Zalman Tainus that the Lashon Umaktiroi Biklishores would have been Mashma, if we would have left that text intact and not amended the Girsa, that would have been Mashma that you put it onto the fire while it's still in the Klishores. Not that you throw it from the Klishores, so that it leaves the Klishores and goes onto the fire directly. Rather, I would have said they got to place it in the Keli on top of the fire, and that's definitely untrue, and that's for surely not done. Right? That we definitely don't do. The Rambam Lashon that we quoted before, the Lefiho Emes, we say, V'noisne al gabi ho'ishim mi klishoris. That's the Rambam's Lashon. So you throw it from the klishoris onto the fire, but not that you place it in the keli on the fire, surely not. So that's why the Gemara had the shver, kaito maktiroi biklishoris. The Gemara says, biklishoris agadaitach. In other words, Dr. B'Tzal Zalman, that's for sure shver. It's for surely untrue. You definitely don't put it in the keli on the fire while in the keli. That's certainly not correct. That's what the Gemara says, Eimo malehu biklishoris lahaktiroi. The halah is done while it's in the keli. You hold it in the keli and bring it from the floor to the top. And the mech, the halo, that's in the keli, and that's why the Gemara amends the gear. So that's a bit Zalman's pshat, based upon his understanding that we're finding a spalt, a distinction within the lechatchila. The right thing to do, again, is to yamala in the klishoris, holding it inside the klishoris. But surely, when you notice an agabah yishim, when you're maktir, you definitely don't leave it in the klishoris at that point. Rather, the right thing at that point is to throw it from the klishoris directly into the fire.
On Amud Beis, the Mishnah begins to get into the specifics of the Mechikas HaMegillah of the Soita. And the Mishnah says, we opened by saying, Hoyamevi Fiali Shalcher, so you bring a jar of earthenware, V'noisein L'soicha Chatzi Lug Mayim Min HaKir. So you place within it a half lug Mayim of water from the Kir. Now why? Why does this water come from the Kir? For the purpose of being moichik the Megillah into it, dissolving into it the Megillah of the Soita. So Rashi in the Mishnah brings in a Sifri. Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, that you place into the Keli, you place Mayim Kedoshim Bechli Chores. Heluga holy water in the kli into the kli ishores, and therefore where do you get mayim kedoshim? Ein kedoshim elosh neskadshu bekeli hachitanya besifri. So kedoshim means that it was neskadish and the kedushas keli of the kli ishores, and that's what it says in the sifri. So Rashi is bringing you a drasha from the sifri that really doesn't say anything specific about a need to have water taken specifically from the kior, like the Mishnah says. And Rashi's drasha that he brings from the sifri, one could perhaps have argued that any klishoris will be sufficient. You take a klishoris of any kind, then you have water in the klishoris, and that suffices, perhaps, water gets a kedushas keli, and that would be used for being moichik the Megillah. And the question then becomes, is there something specific about the mayim hakir that makes it specifically that I have to utilize water from the kir? The Briskirov discusses this question over here, and the Briskirov notes that the Pshutoi, the simple understanding of Rashi and of Zefri, would have appeared to be that there's really no specific din for the water to come from the Kior specifically. It just happens to be, perhaps, it's the most convenient place to take it from. It's right there, and it's got plenty of water, and it's there in the Azor. But in reality, I could take the water from any Klishoris. However, says the Briskirov, even though Rashi and the Zefri are mashba that way, the Targum in Chumash is mashav akert, because the Targum on the Pasuk in Nosoi that you place Mayim Kedoy and bechlichoros, heiliga holy water in the klichoros, and the Targum teaches that mei kiyoira, water from the kiyor. The Rav Targum, for some reason, specifically chaps on too that the water is coming from the kiyor. So that is mashma, says the Briskirov, not like the mashmois of Rashi and the Sifri, and it seems to be that there is something specific about the kiyor water. However, that puts the question onto the Targum. Is there really any marker whatsoever from anywhere that the water has to come specifically from the kiyor? It's one thing that the Pasuk says mayim kedoshim, so I understand that it has to have a kedushas kli that it got from being contained in a kli. But where is there going to be any particular marker that the water has to come specifically from the kier? That's the Briskirov's question. So on that, the Briskirov wants to say the following shtickle Torah. He says a chiddush, and he holds that in fact there is a reason that the water has to come particularly from the kier. And he says like this. So at the Briskirov, be'emes, there's something unique about this mayim kedoshim that we're utilizing for the mechikas ha-megillah of the soita, which is that generally, whenever you mekadesh something, whatever component of food, liquid, whatever it is, and you give it a kedushas kli, whenever you mekadesh it, it always is for the purpose of utilizing it for a carbon. You mekadesh it to use it for a carbon, so it gets a kedushas agof, was placed in the klishoris, and we told about this yesterday. You know, the sakin gives the kedusha to the dam of the behemah, and then there's a second kedusha that's given by the when you do the kabbalah, the keli, and the klishoris. So the klishoris takes it and is mekadesh the dam, gives a special level of kedushas agof, and thereby it's usable for the purpose of a carbon. Here, by the mei soito, there's something very unique. In that, the mei soita is not being used as a carbon. The mei soita don't have a din of a carbon zok there. What's the carbon? You just give it to her to drink, and we're going to see what happens to her when she swallows it. The mei soita have no carbon halacha, and therefore, the whole concept that the Torah is mechadash over here, that I'm supposed to utilize mayim kedoshim, which had a kedushas kli, for the purpose of mei soita, is something which is incredibly unique. It's something which is quite startling and new, because it's mayim kedoshim, even though it's not being used for a carbon, and it raises some questions at the Briskirov about exactly how to understand it. For example, the Briskirov. He says that in his opinion, it would actually be impossible to get this Mayim Kedoshim for the purpose of the Mei Saita by placing Mayim deliberately into a Klishoris for the purpose of being Maktish it, to give it a Kedushas Kli for the Mei Saita. So that normally that's how you do it for any carbon, you know, you place Dam into a Klishoris for the purpose of Kabbalah, and that's the specifically for the purpose that it gives it that's the Kabbalah, and it gives it for the it gives it a special Kedusha for the purpose of being Makir the carbon. However, Zokta Briskirov, that would actually be impossible by the case of Mei Soita, for the simple reason that there is no such process. You can't be makdish
Hekdish Mayim for the purpose of Meisoite, because Meisoite is not a Din Kodshim, it's not a Korban, it doesn't have Avoidois associated with it, it's actually an Din of Chulin, Sotter Biskei Rav. And Mele, therefore, it's impossible, fundamentally impossible, to place water into Klishore for the purpose of being Makdish for a Meisoite, because that's not a Kodoshtik purpose. Rather, Dr. Biskei Rav, what you must do is to take existing water that's already in the Klishores for an independent Kedusha purpose, for an independent carbon purpose or a Kedusha purpose, Kodshim purpose, and utilize that water which already has a Shem Mayim Kedoshim, already labeled as Heluga, holy water, Mayim Kedoshim, utilize that for the purpose of the Meisoita. That's what the Pasuk is saying. The Lokach HaKoyein Mayim Kedoshim B'Klishores. It doesn't say you shall be Makadish the Mayim, Makdish the Mayim by placing it into a Kli and giving a Kedusha's Kli for the purpose of the Meisoita, because that's actually impossible to do since the Meisoita is not a Kodesh purpose. It has to already be Mayim Kedoshim B'Klishores. Mayim Kedoshim already has to have Kedusha on the Vasser. For what purpose? In other words, an independent purpose of Kodshim. And then I can take that water and utilize it for the purpose of Meisoita. So that where am I going to find the Beis HaMikdash water that's standing, that already has this Kedusha's Klishores for an independent purpose? That's where Chazal identified it, that water is to be found in the Kir. Because the Kir constantly has water in there, which is Niskadesh with the Kedusha Klishores, and which is there for the purpose of the Kiddush Yad, the Adayim V'Raglayim of the Kohen. I mean, it's constantly there. So it's Niskadesh for a purpose of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim of the Kohen. I mean, it's standing always there for that purpose. The Kohen is allowed to take some of that water from the Kir, which is Mayim Kedoshim, and it got a Kedusha, that means Niskadesh and the Klishores for the purpose of a Gevissa Kochim purpose of using the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. He takes some of that water and utilizes it for the purpose of Meisoita, because of the Gevissa Kosov of taking Mayim Kedoshim, even though the Meisoita is not in fact a Kodesh Dika purpose. An example of this, as Dr. Biskei Rav, is what we find that the Rambam Paskins, and based on a sugya Emes Hashem coming up in the Soita, that if the lady says Tmeya Ani, that the Mayim is Nishpochim because Ein Bom Kedusha. So what happens if the lady, it's already ready to go, and the water gill is Nimchak and everything, and she says Tmeya Ani? So then the Mayim is Nishpochim. You just spill them out, and you spill them out just right then and there, because since the water has no Kedusha, then there's no special dinamah on how to what to do with that water, so therefore you just spill it out. It has no Kedusha. So the Biskei Rav, if the water would have a Kedusha's carbon in some way, or a Kedusha's avoida in some manner, where's the Kedusha? Kedusha Lahechan Holcha, you know, where, like the Gemara sometimes asks, where the Kedusha's not going to vanish by itself, how Kedusha possibly vanish? What is the pshat in this concept, an extraordinary thing, that the water doesn't have a Kedusha? What do you mean? It was Mayim Kedoshim. It has a Kedusha. So there is Muchrach from there to say a remarkable thing, that even though there's Xeris HaKosiv, that you're supposed to take Mayim Kedoshim for the purpose of the Meisoita, Ba'afal Pikein, with the process of designating it for the purpose of the Meisoita, you put it into the Klichoros for the purpose of the Meisoita, in the process of designating it for that purpose, the Kedusha is actually Poka. That's Mafkia the Kedusha, because it's a non-Koidish purpose. It's Xeris HaKosiv to use it and to direct it for the purpose of Meisoita, but Nichon der Xeris HaKosiv is a directing it for the Meisoita, is actually Mafkia the Kedusha from it, since the Meisoita is not a Kodosh purpose. It's Otter Biskei Rav. This explains this idea that the Targum refers to the Mayim Kedoshim as the Meikir, and more than that, the Biskei Rav says in his opinion it really is a din to use Kir water specifically, because the Kir is that Keli in the Mikdash which has this kind of standing water of Mayim Kedoshim, which is this Kadosh for independent purpose, a Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, a Kedusha purpose, and I'm taking from that Kir and I can use it for the purpose of the Meisaita, and it's actually impossible to take water into some Klishoris and put it to the head to the Magdash of the Meisaita, since the Meisaita is a non-Kodesh purpose. So it's Dafka, a din in the Meikir. This is the Biskei Rav. The Biskei Rav also adds that this is what we find that the Yerushalmi clears to say in one tzad that Lina does not Pasol the water to be used for the purpose of the Meisoita. A very strange thing that the Biskei Rav. I mean, Lina pasols Mayan to be called Kedusha for Kodosh for any purpose. I mean, Lina pasols any Kodshim that has a Kedusha as a Guf, that has a Kedusha as Kli. Why wouldn't Lina pasol the water if it's Mayan Kedoshim and it has to have a Kedusha as Klishoras? Why shouldn't it get pasol for Lina? So, according to me, it's very good because the purpose of Meisoita is a non Kodosh purpose. So, even though there is a Xeris HaKosiv to use Mayan Kedoshim, but since it's being utilized for a non Kodosh purpose, it could be that Lina would not mess it up. Lina pasels chafetzim that are in a klishoris, dvorim that have a kedushas klishoris to be utilized for a kochim purpose. Since it's a non-kochim purpose, it could be that the lina wouldn't pasel, and that's the pshat in the Yerushalmi. Now this chiddush that the Biskei Rav says that the water has to be very specifically from the kir and can't be anywhere else, and that's a medayik from the targum, is certainly not muskim in the achroin. I mean, we find a couple of forum where you freely find the hediyah fakert. The Rashash over here in back of the Gemara actually says fakert, and he makes a basic point to Rishash. Rishash points out that the Pashtus, he says, the Pashtus HaLashonis that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi seem to indicate that it's a Machloik of Bavli Yerushalmi, as I talk there. In other words, that the Bavli Shita seems to be a little bit later down the Omer over here, appears to be that Kir is Lav Dafka, and that you'll be able to use water that got any kind of a Kedushas Kli, whereas the Yerushalmi seems to Nemon that the water has to dafka come from the Kir. Where do you see this? It's Dr. Rishash, because the Gemara later on in the Amud, when it's discussing how you know that the water has to be Mayim Chayim, has to be dafka spring water that's utilized for the purpose of the Meisaita, so the Gemara learns this out of the Mayim that's used for the Tzipori Mitzoyra. Just like we find by the Tzipori Mitzoyra that you have to have Mayim Chayim, like the Pasuk says over there, so likewise in the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, not according to everyone, but in Rabbi Shmuel, Shinta is small holes, like the Gemara says, that we learn from there, just like the Zipporah Mitzoyra utilized Mayim Chaim, so so too likewise the Mei Kior that's used for the Mei Soito also has to be Dafka Mayim Chaim. The Gemara adds that Rabbi Shmuel goes with Shitosoi, because in fact Rabbi Shmuel did hold that the Mei Kir had to dafka be Mayim Chaim, had to be dafka spring water. The water put place into the Kir had to become from a spring water. And made it very good that he held that the Mei Soit has to be Mayim Chaim, and it's taken from the Kir, and the Kir water itself is Mayim Chaim. There's also then the Rishash that if you think about it carefully, you'll see from that Gemara that there's no given, it's not an absolute given that the Mei Soita has to come from the Kir. Because if it was a given that the Mei Soita had to come from the Kir, then obviously if the Kir has to be Mayim Chaim according to Bishmol, then it's going to follow the Mei Soita must, absolutely must, come from the Kir, so to the Mei Soita also has to be Mayim Chaim. It's coming from the Kir anyway, and the Kir is anyway Mayim Chaim. So why does the Gemara need a special Yafusa in Bishmol from the Tzipori Mitzoyer that are shechted onto Mayim Chaim? So that from there all we learn out to hear also to the Mei Soita that it's also Mayim Chaim. You wouldn't need any such Zesa Kosa, because it's pretty much a given if the Meisoit has to be Dafka Kir water, and the Kir water is Mayim Chaim according to Bishmol. The Mukhrach from there says the Rashash, that you see from there that it's actually not an absolute given that the Meisoit has to come Dafka from the Kir. All it is, says the Rashash, is like Rashi brings in the Mishnah from the Sifri, it has to be Mayim Kedoshim, it has to have a Kedushas Klishoris. It could come from any Klishoris. You fill up a Klishoris for the purpose of a Meisoit, you Makadosh the water in the Kli, and the use of a Meisoit is not Dafka din of the Kir. So Gevait Luch, that we do usually use the Kir, like it's before in the Mishnah, but it's not an absolute given mitzvah din. That's what the Gemara has to speak out, that it fits very well, Taka, according to Bishmol, that the Kir had Mayim Chaim, and Taka, that works well with the idea that he has that the Meisoita has to have Mayim Chaim, because it comes from the Kir, but that's not Machriach that the Meisoita has to be Mayim Chaim, and we need a special post, according to Bishmol, that the Meisoita has to be Mayim Chaim, because of the fact that the Meisoita doesn't dafka have to come from the Kir, it was just the norm that it usually came from the Kir. So that's the Rishash. The Rishash says that if you look in the Yerushalmi, you see Fakert, which actually does seem to move over Fakert, that the Yerushalmi seems to say that the Meisoita, Libet Yishmoa, must be Mayim Chaim, because they come from the Kir, and the Kir is Mayim Chaim. And as the Yerushalmi says, Mamish clearly, that which the Bavli does not say, that if I know the Kir is Mayim Chaim, according to Bishmol, spring water, then who are then that the Meisoita is obviously Mayim Chaim, because it comes from the Kir. The Bavli does not go through that Cheshmen, because, Dr. Rishash, the Bavli held that it's not a given that the Meisoita had to come Dafka from the Kir, it was just the norm, whereas the Yerushalmi held that it taka given mitzvah, the etzem hadin, that the meisoita must dafka come from the Kir. In the Chazon Ish, we also find likewise that he nimdon that there's no etzem din, that the mayim kedoshim utilized for the purpose of meisoita has to come dafka from the Kir. It just happens to be from the Kir, but the etzem din is to do it in a klishoris. The Chazon Ish has an interesting shtel in the Rishmol Shita in the Sugya, like we just said, Rishmol holds that the water for the meisoita has to be dafka mayim chayim, that's his understanding. And likewise, he also, the Pasuk actually says that the water for the Purim Mitzoyra has to be Mayim Chaim as well. So the Chazon Ish has an interesting shayla that he clears, and he doesn't come up with an absolutely clear resolution. It's the Chazon Ish in sight over here. Chazon Ish, as a shayla, he says, we know, for example, that the Mei Chatos, that the water for the Paraduma, Efer, the Mei Chatos, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Chukas, and that's the din clearly, is that the Mei Chatos has to come from a spring, which means to say that you fill it directly from the spring. In other words, you put Vonosanol of Mayim Chaim El Keli, that over there the din is that the water has to be filled directly from the spring. The Mayim Chayim, this has to be living water, so to speak, in the spring, and from there you fill it directly into the keli, that you're going to mix the water and the ash in that keli. Zata Chazon Ish, if you think about it, El Gemara also has a couple of dinim that are dinim in Mayim Chayim. According to Bishmol, the Meisoita has to be Mayim Chayim, and the Mayim for the Tzipori Mitzora has to be Mayim Chayim. But over here it seems to be in the Pashtas Asugya that there's no din, it has to come directly filled from the spring. And the Raya is, Zata Chazon Ish, it's pretty clear that it doesn't have to, since How are you going to explain to me, Zokter, you're not filling it directly from the spring, the Mei Soita? The Mei Soita is being filled from the Kier, like it says in the Mishnah. So the Kier, that's the Kier is not direct spring water. The water is simply in the Kier, which is a Kli. So the Chazanish says that it seems to be apparent that the din of Mayim Chayim over here is that it suffices for the water to have originated in a Mayim Chayim, in a Mayon, and to have been taken from there and placed into the Kier from which I'm going to be taking the water for the Mei Soita. Likewise, since the Gemara does tell it too, it appears that the same is true also with regard to the water that you shech the Tzipori Mitzoyra in. They too do not have to have been drawn directly from a Mayim Chayim. It suffices that they originated in a Mayim Chayim. However, the Chazanish then writes, it's not Mukhrach to say this, because perhaps one could suggest that the water came into the Kier for the purpose, by means of taking it in a Klishores from a Mayim Chayim, and was taken in that Klishores from the Mayim Chayim from the spring for the express purpose of utilizing it for Meisaita, and therefore perhaps what gives it a Shem Mayim Kedoshim from the Mayim Chayim, according to Bishmol, would be the fact that it was taka directly drawn, directly from a Mayon, in a Klishores for the purpose of the Meisoita. And a Chanami, Zotah Chazanish, we could suggest, even though Lamaisa, whenever you take water for the Meisoita, you just draw it from the Kier directly. But it could be that every single time that they put water into the Kier, they utilized water, which was there for the purpose, and a Chanami of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim primarily, but also as for an additional purpose as well. They were thinking also that it was going to be utilized for Meisoita, and therefore perhaps they went through a process of taking it to Klishores, drawing the water from a Mayon, from a Mayim Chaim, directly with a Klishores for the purpose of utilizing it for Meisoita. Even though that's a little awkward, the Chazanish is not convinced that that wasn't the case, and he said perhaps one could say that the water, the Mei Chaim water, which is utilized according to Bishmol for the Mei Soita, the Mei Chaim water that's utilized for the Zipporah Mitzayra, perhaps it has to be directly filled from a Mayim Chaim in a similar manner to the way that the Eifer, the Mei Chatos, has to be filled directly from the Mayim Chaim. And he leaves this question unresolved. L'maisav, in this Chazanish, we actually see two points, both, not like the Biskarov. First of all, the Chazanish understood that the water does not have to be directly, the Mayim Kedoshim does not have to be specifically that it was Neskadosh in the Kier. Rather, the Chazanish is actually suggesting that perhaps it was a different klishoris that was used to draw the water directly from a Mayim, and from there it went into the Kier, and that it got a Shem, Mayim Kedoshim, and Mayim Chaim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, in the process of being drawn directly from the Mayim Chaim with this other klishoris, and he actually suggests this thing that maybe that's the way it worked according to Rabbi Shmuel. So clearly he's naming on that it does not have to be Dafka, the Kier, that's giving the Shem, Mayim Kedoshim. Chazanish also writes explicitly, not like the other Chiddush of the Biskarov, and he says explicitly that one could draw the water in this other klishoris that he's suggesting existed for the sole purpose of utilizing it for Meisoita. That's why I'm drawing it directly from this Mayim Chaim for the purpose of utilizing it for Meisoita, according to Bishmol. And the Chazanish writes that would be sufficient to give it the Shem Mayim Kedoshim to utilize for Meisoita. And this is all not like the Biskarov that says that actually, in his opinion, it's impossible to do that because Meisoita is not a Kodosh purpose, it's not a Kedusha purpose, and therefore you must use, in the opinion of the Biskarov, water that was Neskadosh and a klishoris for a different Kodosh purpose. For the Dayan V'Raglayim, the Kiddush of Dayan V'Raglayim purpose, and then once it gets the Shemayim Kedushim to use over this, for the Meisoita. Chazanish understood, otherwise, he understood differently that you could draw the water directly in a Klishoris, even a different Klishoris, perhaps directly from the Mayim Chaim, all for the purpose of being Mekadeshit for the Meisoita. In fact, the Sefer Shalma Yosef takes issue with the entire assumption of the Biskarov that the purpose of Meisoita is fundamentally a non-Kodesh purpose, and therefore you can't do Makdash water or Klishoris for that purpose. And he says that although that may be logical, the fact is that there's actually a Meiri coming up later on in Masechta Soita that seems to say otherwise. The Meiri speaks of this din that we mentioned before, that let's say the lady was, in this, the case of the Meiri, she was Moida, that she was Mezana, and therefore you're not going to be utilizing the Meisoita. So even though it was after the Mechikas HaMegillah, you're ready to ace the Megillah into the water, you don't give her to drink because she was just moida that she was Mezana. The Hamayim Nishpochim, and the water gets spilled out. So the Meiri says, a Loshen over there, Zokter, Sha'afa Pisha Nimcha HaMegillah L'Soicha, and even though the Megillah was already Nimchak into the water, Ein Bem Kedusha. You know why you're spilling out that water? It doesn't have a Kedusha. She'ein Kedusha, so Elo levarer es hasofik, because the kedusha of meisaita is just for the purpose of being mevar, determining the sofik. And since over here the sofik is determined because she was moida, so therefore the kedusha automatically vanishes because the whole kedusha meikora was only there for the purpose of being mevar the sofik. As you see, beferish Dr. Shalmei Yosef that the Miri is saying this chiddush, and the chanami lechayer meisaita is not a korban, and therefore consequently, I would have thought that they really is not shayach to have a concept of kedusha for the water of the meisaita. That's what I would have said. The afapi came, we have a chiddush over here. Mayim kedoshim and bechli choros, you do use kedusha water, and the Meiri understood that that water gets directed to a specific kedusha. In other words, it used to be regular water of the Meikir that had a regular kedusha as kli, but once it's directed for the purpose of meisaita, it gets a special kedusha, which is a kedusha to mevaras asafik. That's apparently the din according to the Meiri, and that din is contingent on the need to mevar the safik, which is why the kedusha is going to expire the moment that it's no longer necessary to mevar because she already was moida. Al kapon in the Brisker Rav said that the water actually becomes chol once it's directed for the purpose of the beer of the Sufik of Meisaita, because that's the non-kutchim purpose altogether. Here you see that the Shalmei Yosef Tain is that the Miri Hel, this actually is a Kedusha purpose, and that's Gufa Chiddush HaKro, that there's a Mayan Kedushim purpose, that there's a Kedusha in the water for the purpose of being Mavar, the Sufik of the Saita, and consequently, until she's Moidu, until you Mavar, the reality of what happened, the water gets retained, it gets a special Kedusha of a Kedusha to Mavar, the Sufik of the Saita.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.